All right. Well, if you have your Bible, turn back to Romans chapter number 1. Begin reading in verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to look in the book of Romans, specifically the earlier chapters. Paul talked about the gospel that he was separated unto, the word of God, the good news of God, the good news of Jesus Christ. And he said this gospel of God, he had promised, the word of God, the promises of God, promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. These promises in the gospel, these things that the gospel holds, he said, he promised by the holy prophets, by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Let me say this about the Scriptures. He said it was in the Holy Scripture. And what he's saying here is these scriptures are sacred, but it also, I mean, for it to be holy, it must be blameless. Now, we're living in a society that seems to find a lot of blame in the Word of God. And I'll tell you, there's nothing wrong with the Word. There's everything wrong with them. The Word of God is holy. And it is blameless. You can't charge the Word of God that it's wrong. It's right. Let God be true and every man a liar. But I want to just look at some things that you and I can find these promises, these doctrines, of the gospel itself is doctrine, is the most important doctrine that you and I can hold to. The gospel of Jesus Christ, his coming, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and everything in between. And we can find a lot of those gospels right here, especially in the early chapters of the book of Romans. Sometimes all it takes is just one verse to introduce or to mention a doctrine that God wants us to know in his holy word. And it's important that you and I see these doctrines. A doctrine is like it's like a rock under your feet. You got to have a sure foundation. That's what doctrine is. Doctrine is a sure foundation of belief. A sure foundation of belief. It's not, as the apostle said, every wind of doctrine. Doctrine that just kind of changes. It blows in and changes and blows out another way. It's amazing how people that try to come up with new doctrine or, you know, religions or even take the scripture and twist it to fix their belief, how many times they have to change what they say is their doctrine. But you and I, listen, we're on a solid foundation. These doctrines, the gospel of God, He has promised by His holy prophets thousands of years ago. Thousands of years ago. For us, it's been thousands of years. The holy prophets of God gave us, by inspiration, the holy scriptures. The blameless word of God. Amen. I thank God for that. That, listen, that means something to me. The devil like us, you know, to be shamed, you know. Well, people, you know, just like the, you know, they say the Baptist, the independent Baptist, they, you know, always King James, King James, King James, King James. Yep, that's right. That is exactly right. I am 1611 King James only.
Right.
I am a Textus Receptus Baptist, amen. The received text that God gave to the early church. They took the word of the prophets, and then God inspired the apostles to give us the New Testament. And it's as inspired as the Old Testament with the prophets, the New Testament and the apostles. It is the Word of God, the Gospel of God. The first thing we looked at it this morning in verse 19 and 20, a gospel that's very important. It's natural revelation. That's an important doctrine. Listen, a man knows naturally, it's revealed to him that there's a God in heaven. Man says he doesn't know there's a God in heaven, he's made himself a fool. There's natural revelation. God said plainly, that which may be known of God is manifest in them. You and I, we are a trinity ourselves. Body, soul, spirit. And he said, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Natural revelation. God has showed it unto them, revealed it. That's a gospel. That's a doctrine that you and I'll find. Universal sin. In chapter number 3, there are several that I want us to look in chapter 3. They're very important. Universal sin. Verse 9, he said in chapter 3 of Romans, what then? Are we better than they? Talking about the Jews, better than the Gentiles. No, in no wise. For we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. Everybody's under sin. Universal sin. There's not a person on earth. You can read right down through verse 20. Shows who man is apart from God. He doesn't have any fear of God.
He doesn't have the way of peace they have not known. All the world, he said in verse 19, may become guilty before God. All the world. Universal sin. People, a lot of times they say, well, you know, some of these people they've never heard. Universal sin. The whole world is guilty before God. Man that is born in this world is born a sinner. God reveals Himself to them. Natural revelation. Universal sin. They sin. Listen, there's a sin because God has been revealed. God has been revealed. Man has turned away from God. Now, there's also in chapter 5, verse 12, original sin. You know what original sin is? Where it began. Chapter 5, verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. That's original sin. That's where it came from. That's how we got it. That's how we became sinners, through Adam. One man sinned and death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. That's original sin. Where does a man find himself that he knows there's a God, but he's a sinner? How can he be saved? How can he be justified? Chapter 3, verse 24. Justification. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. I can be justified and redeemed through Christ Jesus. There's a lot said about justification just right there in that one verse. But that's, listen, that's justification. What is justification, preacher? It means that God regards you innocent. I know a lot of times we say this because it sounds good, and really that's what it means. Justified means just if I'd never sinned. You know, we kind of smudge our words, you know, it's as just as if I'd never sinned. Justified. God makes you and I innocent. Not guilty anymore. God declares us innocent. And He does that by His grace. And He does it by His grace freely. We don't have to pay for it. Justifications, there's nothing you and I have to give God for our justification. It's freely, freely given to you and I by His grace. Justification is freely given to you and I by God's amazing grace through redemption that is in Christ Jesus. His grace comes through redemption. See, something had to happen. God just don't show up and say, well, I'm going to justify you without something happening. A redemption had to happen. A redeeming process had to happen. God just didn't just declare us innocent. There was a redeeming process. And it came through one man. Christ Jesus. That's how you and I are justified. See how important these doctrines are. These doctrines, they're very important for you and I to see them. Not only justification, but propitiation. The very next verse in chapter 3 and verse 25, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. The propitiation, that's an appeasement. That's an atoning sacrifice. He is the propitiation for our sin. God has set forth to be the propitiation, the redeeming sacrifice. Christ on the cross was your redeeming sacrifice. My redeeming sacrifice. That's how we have been redeemed. Redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Because He is the atoning sacrifice, the propitiation, through faith in His blood. He is our atoning sacrifice. But if we don't personally put confidence in what He did, in who He is, that He is my sacrifice, and that His blood washed my sins away. See, it's through faith. Because there can be people just walk around and never put faith in Christ, never want to believe, never trust, never call out to Him. Christ is their redeeming sacrifice, but it's no good. Because they've not put faith in His blood. It takes faith. Faith in the propitiation. Faith in the propitiation. Listen, in the Old Testament, when they brought those lambs and those bullocks, innocent, without spot, without blemish, sacrificed, they had to have faith in that sacrifice. It wasn't just the sacrifice. It was faith in the sacrifice. They had to believe that was going to atone for their sin. Do you see how salvation is by faith, by grace through faith? It's freely given, freely paid. You and I just have to believe. It's enough. He's enough. He's plenty. He's my propitiation. He's our redemption. His blood. A lot of people that don't want that bloody religion, well, I've got news for them. They don't have no propitiation without that blood. No propitiation without His blood. To declare His righteousness again. To make you and I right with God for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. God has taken you and I, who are sinners, and every sin and us as a sinner washed away. And now we're justified, regarded innocent. Ain't that amazing? Faith. If you read chapter number 4, it'll tell you as much about faith as Hebrews chapter 11 does. Look in Romans chapter 4. The whole chapter is about faith. It describes the faith of Abraham. It tells how that it was, you know, imputed to him, how faith operated. It shows you and I how to believe. That's what Paul's showing these Romans, how to believe. How that Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. His faith. God looked at Abraham because he believed in God's propitiation. And he said, Abraham, you're justified now. Because you believe. It's how our iniquities are forgiven. Faith. Faith, not in the works of our flesh, but faith in Him. I'm telling you, this whole chapter is as much a chapter of faith as Hebrews 11 is. The next time you want to study about faith and you go to Hebrews 11, don't forget about Romans chapter number 4. It'll tell you a whole lot about faith. It'll open your eyes. It may actually even give you the Holy Ghost goosebumps. You get to seeing, I mean really seeing, just how much this thing's out of our hands and how much it was placed in His hands. I mean, when Christ was on the cross, that was it. That was it. Everything He was and all that He is, all that He did was for you and I. Freely. The propitiation, there He was. Faith. The last one I'm going to give you this evening. Chapter 6, union with Christ. Union with Christ. You look in chapter number 6, and He tells you and I about our union with Christ. How we live. How we are to believe. Our faith. How we walk in the Spirit. How we are positioned in Christ. You and I have a union with Him. We are in Christ now. We were apart from Him, and now we are in Him. What doctrine? What glorious doctrine. Listen, and if you're ever in Him, you can't never get out of Him. See, that doctrine is so important. It stabilizes you and I. It's our solid foundation. It is our faith. It's what gives you and I the confidence to live a victorious Christian life. I couldn't live that life apart from being in Christ. You couldn't either. But we are in Christ, and that's as much by His grace freely. I didn't place myself there. You didn't place yourself there. God placed us in Christ. What an amazing book. What an amazing, blameless, holy word. Thank God. Thank God. For these things. When you see these things, listen, don't just simply pass over them. You see these words. Listen, they're important. God's telling us something about what He has done for us. Where you and I can find ourselves in victory. Listen, after that we are saved, Let me start over. We start out lost. And through God's Word, by the Holy Spirit, by the power of God, somehow we find ourselves able to see and put faith in Christ. And we are then justified, saved, sealed, so many other things, sanctified. And that doesn't change. We're never going back to the lost condition anymore. We're not going to lose our salvation, our position. We might break fellowship, grow cold, but we'll never be lost again. And then after we're saved, God is, through His Word, showing you and I how to live now that we are in Christ. Victorious. And the one way that helps you and I to live victorious is for you and I to see who we are in Christ. Because a person can't live for Christ if every day they feel like they're just beat down. I just ain't worth a dime for Him. Knowing God wants to raise you up and say, you're innocent in my eyes. You are in my Son. His blood has washed your sin away. You're now justified. I don't feel like I'm good enough. My Son was good enough for you. Amen. He's our propitiation. Thank God for that. He is our victory. Thanks be unto God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's how we have victory. That's how we walk. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Christ hath made us free. And be not entangled again in the yoke of bondage. You don't have to live that way. What amazing, amazing gospel that Paul was said he was separated unto. You and I have been separated unto this same Word. This Word, God puts it in us, writes it on the table of our heart. Amen. He wants you to know where you stand with Christ. Therein is victory. Therein is great liberty. Therein you find peace and joy. You can find peace, the peace of God, and after you've found peace with God. We first find peace with God. We're saved. Then we can find the peace of God. I'm sealed. Amen. All right. Bless your heart. Thank you for coming.